In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
And Jesus, Jesus says in Matthew 25, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has set ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delays in his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servant shall come in at a day that he looks not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites." Well, the last thing I want to do and have in my favor is to be appointed with the hypocrites. I don't know about you. I do not want to be one of the ones that will be brought into the place with the hypocrites. Then who is the faithful and wise servant? I will tell you. The one who seeks the Lord, the one who seeks his word, the one who literally goes out of his way to be with him in prayer, and the one whose hands are moving. Yes, whose hands are moving as well as praying for people. Yes, praying for people is a ministry in and of itself. But I'm going to tell you, most Christians, once they experience baptism of the Spirit, once they've experienced born again, after a year and a half, we put them on a shelf and they're just like everybody else. The faithful servant is the one that follows Jesus to the end, because he or she has nobody else but Jesus. Because Jesus is his only hope. Because Jesus is her only hope. The faithful servant is the one who sticks as close to Jesus as Elisha stuck to Elijah, because he knows, she knows, that without Jesus, we will be shipwrecked. The faithful servant is the one that when they sin, repent and go to confession immediately, and do not walk the third rail, because it's very dangerous, the way of sin. The faithful servant is the one, in season and out of season, belongs to God. When they're on the mountain and when they're in the valley. When things are bright and sunny and when things are miserable. Oh yes, the faithful servant might complain. But let me also tell you, they are there. They are there in season and out of season. When convenient and inconvenient. The faithful servant is the one that will do things that other people will not do. That's right, they will do things that other people will not do. Why? Because they know that the Lord covers their backside. I know we need to be a little prudent, but I'm going to tell you, the church is more prudent than it needs to be. I remember speaking to a priest about pro-life. He's in the seminary, you know. He teaches morality. He says, we want to be prudent. And I said to him, Father, it's not the time to be prudent. It's the time to be charitable. Charity is the virtue, not prudence at this point. But you see, that's just the way out, you see. That's just the way out. We want to be prudent. Yet we don't want to risk. We don't want to do anything. Why? Because you know, we want to cover our own backside. We want everybody to think that we're good people and we're not going to be doing this or doing that, that people might think we're crazy. Prudence, you know. The church is so prudent that it's dying today. And I would say it's not prudent at all. because the real virtue of prudence is a virtue. What they call prudence has become a vice. You know, wanting to care what other people think, self-respect. Well, anyway, who is this faithful servant? Is he a perfect man or a perfect woman? Of course not. There's nobody perfect but Jesus. This man or this woman is a man or woman who knows who he is, who knows who she is, you see? You cannot grow in the spiritual life unless you know who you are. And you cannot grow in the spiritual life unless you know who you aren't. This whole thing of self-knowledge is very important. Knowing who I am and who I'm not. Also knowing that I cannot do this, but I know who can if I offer myself to him. You see, who is this faithful and servant that the Lord says will set over his goods in due season? I'm going to tell you. He's not the perfect man, but I would say maybe he is the weakest man or the weakest woman who finds his own consolation in his own life under the shadow of the wings of the cross. Under the shadow of the wings of the cross. He dwells under the shadow of the wings of the cross, and he works in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection. Oh yes, the faithful and good servant, the faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord has made ruler over his household. And you know, you can find these people anywhere. I have found them at the bedside of people, and they are the women that clean the hospital rooms. They are the faithful, and they are the wise servants of the Lord. I have seen them minister to the people greater than any minister or any priest. They listen, they cry, and they pray. In the last moments of people's lives, they listen. They cry, they pray, and they give hope. You see, these faithful and wise servants whom the Lord has set over his household might not be in rectories. They might not be in bishop houses. They could be. They could be. They could be. But you find them in places that you don't expect to find them. You see, they have a heart for the people of God. They have a heart for the broken. They have a heart for the poor. They have a heart for Jesus, who always cares for the underdog. Oh, yeah. They are the faithful, and they are the wise servants. But you would look at them and think, what's so wise about these people? There's nothing about these, but they are the gems in the crown of the Lord. They are the ones the Lord has appointed. You know, I'm going to tell you, if people who are living a Christian life are not risking, there's got to be some kind of risk. Some kind of risk. You know, I just, some kind of risk. So if you're not risking, you say, Lord, show me where I need to risk. You see, I remember Marie Sarasulo. Marie Sarasulo, saint of God. She died several years ago. You know, she would have at her house all these beautiful Baptist people worshiping God on a Wednesday afternoon. But if anyone needed anything, you know, Marie would offer them a room or whatever they needed. Marie would be there. You know, I don't see that in the Christian community. You see, if I don't offer a room in my little house by the sea, nobody's going to offer a room. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? No one's going to be bothered. No one's going to be bothered. You know, it's very interesting. You know, we start expecting, and maybe this is dysfunctional on my part that I've not let people start also giving. But you see, when you keep on giving to people, they become good receivers. And they never become the faithful and wise servant that learns from the givers also to risk. I know risk will get you into trouble. Well, yeah, it will get you into trouble. That's why people don't want to risk. They want to live the sweet life that, you know, I wake up and I say, "Hi, Lord, I love you today. Would you just be with me?" And I think it's great. And they want to go to bed at night and say, "Thank you, Lord, protect my property." But you see, there's more to it than that. There is a risking. To be a Christian is dangerous business. It's dangerous business. Because you see, you are fighting against the current. And most Christians don't fight against the current, because you know why? They don't want to be singled out. Now, I know we cannot fight against every current. I know that. But Lord, where do you want me to risk? Where do you want me to be? Where do you want me? And you don't have to do it until he shows you. But you know, most people, they just go from day to day. If you're leading people to Christ, hallelujah, you're risking. If you're an evangelist leading people to Christ, you're risking. That's your ministry. Then you bring them to the church. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. You know, if you pray for the sick and people come to you, that's your ministry. At least you're risking. You know, they're ringing your telephone. You know, you are inconvenienced, you see. You're risking. The faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over the household. Now, I'm not saying these things to make people feel guilty. I'm saying these things to say that the church is the church of the pew. We are the pew potatoes. If we have fire, my friends, we better use the fire to defrost the people who are frozen, especially in New England. If we have fire, we better use the fire to defrost people who are frozen. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I remember Tommy Tyson talking to this woman who had just made an experience with him, and she was so elated, and she came up to him. She said to him, "Tommy, now what do I do when I go home? My family is a whole bunch of ice cubes." He said, "Honey, you receive so much fire that you could have just apply it to them in love, so they all start melting." Well, you see, it's nice to have fire, but we want to melt the frozen. You see? But you see, you know, we keep the fire to ourselves. And you know, when you keep the fire to yourself, you know what happens to it? It goes out. That's right. The fire goes out. It only continues as we spread it. But our first obligation is to Jesus. Our first obligation is to be with him. Our first obligation is to be in his presence. That's prayer. In season and out of season. When convenient and inconvenient. Do we fail at that? Oh, we fail many times. Have I failed at that? I failed many times. But it's always time to repent. You see, because if you're really talking to Jesus, he'll talk to you about the brothers and the sisters. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Understand what I'm saying? See, this morning I woke up very early. Very early. And I said to myself, this is going to be a drag. Yesterday, I felt so sick, I went to bed without dinner. I never do that. But I was so sick, I went to bed without dinner. Woke up 3 hours later, had a couple of appointments, woke up 3 hours later, and then watched the news and went to bed and woke up early. Now, I had something on my heart today about these priests that are getting $200 a month. So I needed to call somebody. So I called them at 7 o'clock. Okay. I can't. See, the diocese is not going to listen to Father Tom, okay? I'm smart enough to know that. I'm a thorn in their side. Hallelujah. Better one thorn that's faithful than a thorn that hates. I do not hate the diocese. I do not hate the archbishop. I do not hate. I hate what they're doing. I do not hate them. Because God is no part of what they're doing if they pay the priests $200 that are disabled. God is no part. God is no part of the diocese if we join the Centene group and we have to taxi people to Planned Parenthood. You know what I'm saying? I do not hate the archdiocese. So I got on the phone today to somebody who would be influential, doing the best I can at 7 o'clock in the morning, because they're not going to listen to me. Then I turned over, fell asleep. I said, it's my day off. I hope I can sleep a couple more. And I did, thank God. I slept a couple more hours. But then I got up, and the phone never stopped. I'm sitting by the phone, and the phone never stopped. You see, the phone never stops because it's the last outpost. Who are they going to call? Like, who are they going to call? Like, who's open to these poor people? Now, I'm going to say I'm not God. I can't do it all. But, you know, most places, you know, they screen the calls. And sometimes I have to do it because, you know what? Because my head is rattling. But who are they going to call? Like, who are they going to call? These are God's people. These are God's broken people. Like, who are they going to call? Do I get annoyed sometimes? Oh yeah, sometimes I get very annoyed. I never would tell you that I do anything perfectly. Do I get put out sometimes? Oh yeah, sometimes I get very put out. Do I get sick of it all sometimes? Of course, sometimes I do. But the next morning we start all over again. Because you see, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has set over to rule over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, finds him so doing. Not only sitting down saying, I belong to Jesus, but so doing. So doing. So doing. Now, I know I'm not saved by my works, but I also know that the Word of God says, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, finds him so doing. That's what he says. And if he doesn't find him so doing, he's going to just put him with the hypocrites. That's what it says, okay? You might not like that. That might be against your theology, but Jesus Christ is saying that, not St. Paul. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Oh, it's all based upon faith. It's all based upon our surrender to Jesus every day. But you see, I'm going to tell you, let's look at all the churches, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox. How many of them are so doing? Not many. Okay, I hear of a church in Atlanta where all these wonderful young people are praying for the sick. Hallelujah. They're so doing. They're so doing. People getting healed. They're so doing. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. You know? But you know what? There's different types of ministries. I pray for the sick too. And, you know, we see them get better. Hallelujah. We also see them die. You know, I can't lie. I can't lie. We not only see them get better, we see them die. But we do not pray that they die. We pray that they get better. And we have seen the miraculous here. We have seen the miraculous here. Had a young man with me for a couple of weeks in California who had terrible migraine headaches. They started coming again. I prayed with him. they completely were healed in the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? But you see, that's just part of my vocation as a priest, to bring healing. But also, the name of my sacrament is Holy Orders. That means to order the holy. Like, what are you so doing? Like, what are you so doing? But the servant that is so doing will be set over the master's goods. And I'm not saying so doing because I gained my salvation by so doing. So doing because God so loved me that I want to bring other people into the kingdom. That God so loved me that I want to do things that the Lord calls me to do. You see, you just cannot just say, I love Jesus and nothing else. That's what most people do. I love Jesus. Well, that's really nice. I hope they don't send you out with the hypocrites. What does it say? The evil servant shall say in his heart, the Lord delays in his coming. Yeah. So he starts to treat his fellow servants wrong. And he eats and drinks with the drunken people. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day and looks not for him in an hour that he's not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I accepted Jesus. Yeah, that's right. So did that guy. Know what I'm saying? Listen. Christianity is more than accepting Jesus. Christianity is following Jesus. Many have gone before me, many will come after me. It's not an easy road, but it's the only way to go. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I want to walk that road with you. Dun, da, dun, da, da, on the way to home. That's why I want to walk that road. And you know, that road is strewn with flowers as well as thorns. That's right. That road is strewn with flowers as well as thorns. Cross as well as resurrection. No crown without a cross. Hallelujah. Take up your cross every day. Live in the victory of the Lord Jesus, but take up your cross every day. Live for Him. 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 You don't have to do great things to live for Him. You just have to live in faith and do what He says. I thank God for the little women who clean the rooms of hospitals, who are the faithful servants, who pray and give hope to the patients, and who listen. My Lord, may their number increase. They will receive the great crowns, while the bishops and the priests and the ministers who eat turkey dinners, they, only God knows what we will get if we do not live for Him. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we pray for our bishops every day, because bishops are very responsible. Jesus will not give them a turkey dinner. He will say, I gave you a diocese. What did you do with it? Jesus will not give the priest and the minister a turkey dinner. He will say, I gave you a people. What did you do with them? Jesus will say, did you live like me? Were you following me? Or did you become a religionist? And you were secure in your religion. And if you were, you were going with the hypocrites. And there will be gnashing and wailing. You see, now's the time to change. Hallelujah. Better change today. Avoid the rush about tomorrow. You see, no one's too far gone. You can change today. Just give yourself to Him. okay, I'll do anything you want me to do, Lord. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Just show me. Let me just tell you this. Tonight is Wednesday, and we will be at the Espousal Retreat House tonight at 7:30. And you're welcome to come if you would like to come. And next week, we will be at the Espousal Retreat House on the July 1st. And then we're starting Revival July 1st at Espousal. It will continue the next night at Holy Rosary. And our nights for Revival are going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Sunday at the Holy Rosary. Monday at the Holy Rosary, Tuesday at the Holy Rosary, Wednesday at the Espousal, and Thursday at the Holy Rosary. 5 nights a week during July. We're going to worship the Lord if we do nothing else. With music or not music, it makes no difference to me. I want worshipers. So, come. I want to also tell you this. I need to hear from you. Many of you people have received our letters. This is the summer, and you know what? If we have to stay on all these stations, you've got to help us. I understand some people that are preaching on the radio are asking money for 20 minutes. I don't do it. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you know what? Jimmy the plumber needs work. He's got four kids. You dial 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. Jimmy the roofer. I'm calling him the plumber. Jimmy the roofer, 617-846-1210. And you know what? He's cheap, he's good, and he does a wonderful job. 617-846-1210 for Jimmy the roofer. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.